Welcome. You're listening to sermons and talks from Providence Church in Brisbane. We believe that God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we pray that as you listen, you'll be encouraged and challenged to love Jesus and live for him. For more information about Providence Church, please visit our website, www.providencechurch.com.au.
Gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who gives us peace, a God who we get to know through Christ, and through Christ we get to be in a relationship with the one who does provide refuge and safety, a God who we can trust, a God who we can turn to. And so we pray now, Lord, as we get into your word today, Lord, we'll be able to come to you with that sense of safety, the sense of being able to know that you are a good and great Father who listens to us, and a God who invites us to come into a relationship with you. And so I do pray for that now as we get into today, and as we hear from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin with telling you a story that happened to me about 12 years ago. My wife Heidi and I were newly married, and we were living in Sydney at the time. I had saved up enough money. Heidi and I had saved up enough money to go on a big holiday. It was a three-week holiday. I was at Bible college at the time. Heidi was working. But we were, you know, that year saving up a lot of money because we were going to take this three-week holiday to America. And so that year, it was like a graduation present. We were super frugal. You know, we were eating like rice and discounted chicken every night to save up all this money for that trip. It was super exciting. I was super excited. If you guys know me, I like to travel. And so, you know, when I can't have the time and the money, that's where I'm going. It was the big three. So we went to LA, San Fran, and New York. We found this great special. I love bargain hunting through Flight Center, got a good price for round tickets, and the day came. We're packing all day. Friends had come around. They came for an early dinner. They were taking us to the airport. The flight was going to be at 11 p.m. And so we got into the car, went to Sydney Airport, said our goodbyes. They headed back home. We headed inside. And we went into this, if you've been to Sydney Airport, it's a big airport. We went to the airport, but that night it was quite surprising because there weren't many people around. It was surprisingly quiet. Not many lights were on. It seemed a bit dark. And I was looking for our airline counter to check in, and I found it, American Airlines, and there was no one there. I started to feel something sink in my stomach, and my heart rate was rising, and panic started to settle in. And I pulled out our itinerary and our tickets, and it dawned on me. The ticket didn't say 11 p.m., it said 11 a.m., and our flight had left earlier that day, and we were left standing in this airport with no idea what to do next, and I realized I majorly stuffed up. It was the most expensive mistake I've ever made in my life. I don't know if you're feeling secondhand anxiety, I'm feeling. And as traumatic as that experience was, I still love to travel, and you know, I still, you know, when I have the time and money, I'll get on a plane, but every time I take international flights, no matter how many times I check the flight schedule, I will still, leading up to that flight, perhaps in the car or in the train or whatever, I will feel extremely anxious. You know, heart palpitations, sweaty palms, short of breath, racing thoughts, anxious about getting the times right, and hoping nothing will go wrong. And thankfully, nothing has since that incident. But I'm sure many of you can relate. Not with making the mistake that I did, but with the feeling of fear and anxiety that something is going to go wrong. Nervous, anxious, tense, worried, afraid, those emotions. I'm sure we've had all of those in our lived experiences. It could be related to spiders and snakes, of heights, of enclosed spaces, going to the dentist and and having Phil look at your teeth and realizing you haven't flossed again, or getting up on stage and doing public speaking. I mean, the thought of those things makes you feel uneasy, doesn't it? What's been more prevalent in recent years is the fear of getting sick. I know, you know, you hear someone cough and you instantly feel uncomfortable. There's a fear of our safety with an increase in crime. A big one for younger generations is the uptick in social anxiety. I mean, it's hard for many young people to pick up a phone call. We'd rather text. To sit alone in a cafe to read a book sounds terrifying. To ask a question to a shop assistant is just too much. You dig deeper, and many of us will uncover that our hearts are as well. We have deep fears of loneliness, of rejection, of loss, of abandonment, of death. And with all these anxieties and fears, we feel something, don't we? And so how do we manage our fears and anxieties? That's what I want to ask. How do we approach them in light of knowing God and having faith as Christians, if we are Christians? Now, I feel anxious talking about this topic today. I feel anxious every week I get up on stage. Public speaking is a fear of mine, but also because I'm not a psychologist. I want to say that from the front. I do encourage you to see, one, if the topic of anxiety is a mental health struggle for you. Yet at the same time, I hope this is going to be helpful as I share what the Bible says about it and to encourage you through these challenges that you or someone you might know might be struggling with this. I do hope that today we can manage some of our concerns, manage some of our fears and anxieties through how God speaks to us in the Bible to help us get through life with a bit more confidence, with a bit more reassurance. Now, so I'm going to look at our Bible passage, but I'm going to look at a few today. When we look at our Bible passage today, Philippians 4, let's read it again, actually. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." All right, so just a couple of verses there from our reading today. We read that, and we have to first address the reality that we will get anxious in life. There will be fears in this life. God addresses us here, presuming that that's how it is. So let's begin with identifying it. Identifying the emotion and feeling itself. Whether we recognize it or not, fear or anxiety, worry are part of living in this world, right? Part of the human experience, like I said. When your mind or body senses danger of any sort, we feel this. Our stomachs sink, it gets harder to breathe, our faces go red, tears sometimes erupt from the ducts in our eyes. We live in a world where there are things that are uncertain, where we're not in control of every circumstance. Yes, we can minimize risks, but there are aspects in this life that simply will lead us to worry and be fearful. And the Bible talks about it. If thousands of years before our time, they're no strangers to fear and worry too. You go to the Psalms and you can read about how they faced real dangers in their life. And so Psalm 3, "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?" So he's crying out to God there. In Psalm 10, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak," right? People feel danger all the time and they cry out to God. They're fearful. I mean, no surprise for them. They most likely lived during a time when medicine and technology wasn't as abundant, and a time when conflict and war was common and their safety was always in question. They had real threats to their lives. But we feel the same at times, don't we? Whether it's our safety, our uncertainty, our need for control, there are unknowns in this life that will make us feel either a mild discomfort or will give us full-blown panic attacks. And I know there are some who hate the feeling. There are some here who, I think all of us hate the feeling, but some of us, we suppress that feeling. We don't want to face it. We suppress that fear and anxiety. We shrug it off, try to ignore it, dismiss it. We'll say, suck it up, sweep it under the rug, hoping it'll just go away. Now, some of us do it in very unhealthy ways. We turn to alcohol or other addictions. Other times it might not be as obvious, but you disengage by turning to your screens, we doom scroll, we get obsessed with our hobbies, we might become gluttonous with junk food, or we overly procrastinate, whatever it might be. We distract ourselves and we disengage from that emotion. For others though, sometimes fear and anxiety, it consumes us and overwhelms us. We go inwardly. We retreat from others, we spiral out, we ruminate, we panic, we go into self-preservation mode, the fight or flight response, and then it perpetuates. And what we're seeing in our culture today, especially in social media, is young people identifying themselves by these emotions. There is stuff actually out there on TikTok, people filming themselves having panic attacks. of them being highly anxious, and it trends, and the algorithms promote it, and then what companies do, they bank on it to promote their anti-anxiety pills. It's crazy out there. And there's this mental health crisis going on. And again, we should be processing this with a professional, not social media influencers. But this is sort of the extremes we're seeing in culture today. Either way, what I want us to do is first identify that these are real emotions, part of our lived experience as humans. There are dangers, there are threats that exist, things we're not in control of. We live in a world that is broken, and we are finite. We are mere mortals. We are not God. We're not superhuman. We're dependent upon God and upon each other. Fear, anxiety, worry, uneasiness, scared. It's okay to be honest about that emotion. Let's own it. Because we are human, and there's a frailty and a fragility to our humanity, so we can face it and engage it as God would have us do. So now that we've established the emotion, what does it say about us? Last week I mentioned this Bible passage to us, that our emotions reveal our hearts and what we treasure and value. All right, so it's here in Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about it. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." All right, so when we listen to our fears and anxieties, and we actually hear them speak to us about something that has personal meaning to us. They will generally appear to be attached to the things we value. All right, so for example, if we desire comfort, then we will fear pain, won't we? We'll fear any threat to that comfort. If we desire approval and acceptance from others, we'll fear criticism and being dismissed. If we desire love, we'll fear rejection and loneliness. If we desire security, we'll fear not having enough money perhaps when it comes to paying the bills and constantly checking our bank accounts. We fear those things. And so the author Alistair Groves, he writes this, "Where fear flourishes, there your heart will be also." Right, that's his take on this idea of where our treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? Where fear flourishes. We can use these emotions then to take a look at ourselves, our hearts. What is it that we value and care deeply about? Listen to our fears and consider what it is saying about the things we value. Our fear speaks. And I think it's so helpful for us to think about that because we need to grow in that self-awareness so we can rightly process them. Because you see, there is nothing wrong with the desire for love or for approval, for comfort, for security, or for safety, or even that sense of control. In and of themselves, these feelings and desires are human. It's how God created us to be. Fear and worry is a natural emotion in a world of danger. The people, faith in the Bible, had all these desires, and so they had fears and anxieties too. If you go to the New Testament, you can actually see with Paul, who's the apostle who wrote half of the New Testament for us, he writes this in 2 Corinthians, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." You can hear his fears and anxieties there. In 2 Corinthians, "And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." So for Paul, he had a worry and a concern for God's glory, God's church and God's mission. He shared in God's heart for God's people and wanted them not to turn away from Jesus and to remain faithful in the gospel. He had anxiety for that. Not just Paul, though. Jesus himself. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane here, and he's praying to God. He says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, Jesus here, he was in pain, he was in agony. And we read he was sweating. There's an anxiety there in the fact that he's sweating intensely. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to take on the sin of humanity, past, present, and future, from a deep love for us, to save us and restore us to God. That's where his heart was. But of course, the thought of that would have caused an intense fear and anxiety still, wouldn't it? It would to anyone. You see, our emotions, our fears and anxieties, it's not sinful to feel that way. They are signs that reveal the things that our hearts care about. They're signals that alert us to what's going on in our hearts. So we need to listen to our fears. Hear them speak about the things that have personal meaning to you. Reflect and evaluate how they are attached to the things that we care about. We need to identify that. And it will help us grow. It'll help us grow in our self-awareness, our emotional intelligence, and our maturity. But now that we've identified our fears and what we value, we must ask ourselves, what do we do with that then? What do we do with our fears and anxieties? How do I handle these big emotions that I'm feeling in my mind and my body? Well, let's read Philippians 4:6 again. "Do not be anxious But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's where it goes wrong. We let fear and anxiety rule us when we don't entrust them to God. The Bible tells us again and again and again to turn to God in our fear and anxiety. Why? Because our natural instinct is to turn away from Him. That's our sin. To turn away from God. Think about what do our anxieties and our fears, the worries of life, show to the world about who or what you value? Is it the God of the universe, or is it someone or something else? Because you see, our natural tendency in a world where we are not in control for most of us is to look inward, isn't it? To try and fix it ourselves, take away the feeling, give ourselves strategies to cope, or as I said, turn to our devices in our addictions. Whether it's fight or flight, we're looking for the answers within ourselves, hoping that we can see some control and certainty over our lives. We tell ourselves, I can control this emotion, I can switch it off. And we lean into our own strength and reasoning, or for some, our escapism. Realizing only to find we're in this constant, perpetual cycle of fear and anxiety. Because no matter how much we try, we are not and never will be truly in control of the world around us or these finite bodies. See, I think this is where our anxiety and fear falls into sin. Sin gives us this illusion that we can fix it all on our own, that we have supreme control, that we don't need God. There's an author, Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote that book, Eat, Pray, Love. She's not a Christian, but she touches upon this truth. I found a quote from her. I found it very interesting as someone who's not a Christian. You're afraid of surrender because you don't want to lose control, but you never had control. All you had was anxiety. I think it's very insightful. Control over our world and our future is an illusion. She's not a believer, but she speaks about this idea of surrender. And she's touching upon a reality, I think, is where the Bible points us to. Instead of trying to chase more control to ease our fears, what if the dangers and the worries and the anxieties and uncertainties are signposts to point us not to a strategy, but to surrender? Not to ourselves, but to God. The one whose control, who is in control and consistent and certain character, are our only real safety. You see, the Bible says this in Psalm 20, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In Proverbs, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We put our trust and hope in so many things, don't we? In our bank accounts, our personalities, our intellect, our accomplishments, hoping they'll relieve us of our anxieties and fears. We lean into our own strengths because it's not the unknown. It's something where we can still maintain a sense of control. But can you see what we're doing? We're putting our trust in chariots and horses when God wields the power and established already the outcome of the battle. What if true safety is found in trusting God in His control and His good plans for us, knowing He desires our ultimate safety? For some, and I know for me at times, at the heart of my anxiety, there exists a distrust. It appears to be saying, God, I don't trust you. God, I don't believe you have my back. And what happens is my sin distances myself from God when I let my anxieties rule and consume me. And at its worst, maybe you've seen this too, they lead us to unhealthy habits or patterns of behavior that can hurt us and fracture relationships with those around us too. We must be on guard with the desires of our hearts, the things that we seek after, the fears we have. It can lead us down very destructive paths. Sin twists our desires. It numbs ourselves to the pain. We distract ourselves to escape. We drown ourselves in pleasure. We chase after those dopamine hits. We isolate ourselves. We get angrier easier and distance ourselves from God and from others. We do anything and everything but actually face and engage our fears and anxieties. Friends, we have to put a name to it. And to be healthy and whole, we must redirect our hearts to engage it, not alone, but with God and others. Let your faith drive you to Him in surrender, because He is God who is truly in control. Don't hear me wrong again. We have helpful tools. We have wisdom from counselors and therapists and psychologists. Good strategies to help us manage our anxieties and fears. Professionals, friends, people to talk to. Those are gifts from God. Utilize them. But the Bible encourages us, come to God. Come to Him first and foremost. Bring our emotions to the one who made us, who designed our bodies and emotions and knows our fears and is in 100% control of our universe, of our future and what's to come. Come to Jesus, come to God. And that's why the Bible again and again makes references. Do not be anxious or fearful, but trust God. He knows the ways of our hearts. He's the antidote to our anxiety and fear. Come to Him and trust Him with the outcome. And so you got all these Bible passages. And it's a bit small on the screen. I'll read them out to you. But I really want the Bible to speak for itself here. So trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 62. Psalm 55. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never let the righteous be shaken. Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. See, we have a God who is our refuge and safety. A God who is sovereign and in control. A God who loves and cares for us. And he invites us to bring our worries and anxieties to him. He knows our hearts are prone to it. He knows there is much to fear in this world. He doesn't shame us for it. He doesn't say, suck it up and get on with it. He invites us to come to him in surrender and trust. You see, these emotions are designed to drive us to him, to connect with him and pray for the brokenness of the world around us, to redeem and restore, to trust that he is powerful and trust in his good plan. See, Jesus, when he felt anguish and felt anxious in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was he doing? He was praying to God. That passage I read earlier to you from 2 Corinthians, that Paul, he was feeling anxiety, the pressures of life. Let's read it again. I've got it on the screen. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. It keeps going. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Do you see? We could respond in distrust. Respond by running away and distancing ourselves from God. Or we could turn to him. We could depend on him. We could trust him. Just like a child that approaches their parents with the things that they fear, God invites us to know he is real. He is powerful. He loves us and wants us to know he hears our cries. Bring all your cares and anxieties, your prayers and petitions, and pour out your hearts to God. Come to him in trust. And as you do that, as you come to him in prayer, come to his word and let him speak to you truths about who he is. Let him speak to your heart, to your fears, to the things you value and treasure. Let his words speak louder than our fears. I've got a bunch of Bible passages I'm going to read out loud to you right now. Because I want it to bring you comfort. I want you to show you the greatness of our Lord Jesus, majestic and powerful, but that he's also caring and loving. He's also one that we can trust in. And so the first one's from Matthew 8. It tells us that Jesus has all control and authority. He got into a boat. He was with his disciples. They followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. See, Jesus has all control and authority. He doesn't worry at times, and we can trust him because he's in control. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus is the great shepherd. God doesn't promise us he'll always remove the dangers, the things that cause us fear and anxiety, but he promises that he'll be with us. In Jesus, he invites us to rest. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's with us. Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Well, and this one, in Jesus we're worthy, known, and loved. Luke 12 says this. He said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. We are worth more than the birds and the lilies. We're known and loved. Doesn't that give us comfort in our fears and anxieties? You know, when we think about Jesus and how he's with us, how he provides for us, and when we pray to him, when we pray for others as well, we're not praying something like, may the force be with you. We pray, may God be with you. We're praying for God's presence to be with you and with us. And I think it's a hugely underappreciated promise of Scripture that God is with us. It's not something we should minimalize or trivialize. God is with us. Christ, our Emmanuel. And when we're in his company, well, even the darkest of nights, when fears surround us and the waves keep crashing in, it's that truth we need to preach to our hearts. It's that comfort we need knowing we're in his presence. Two more passages to finish. This one, John 16. This is Jesus with his disciples. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And again, in Philippians 4, what we read earlier, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, true and deep peace comes not from the absence of danger and trouble, but from being in the presence of our Lord Jesus. A couple of years ago, a movie came out, and some of you guys have watched it, Inside Out 2. You guys watch Inside Out 2, or at least the first one? Inside Out 2, this is the poster for it. It's a movie about a girl called Riley, so it's a sequel to the first one, about her emotions. This one, in the sequel, she's entering into her teenage years, where her emotions simply just aren't limited to joy and sadness and anger and fear and disgust. There are 5 emotions. There are more emotions now as a teenager. And she's trying to process those emotions. One that becomes a big one in this film is anxiety. And so as you watch the movie, you'll see anxiety taking over. Scenes where Riley, she experiences panic attacks, where she feels shamed and uncomfortable. I watched it and I felt so confronted by it. I felt secondhand anxiety. I got emotional at the end of that film because I really felt for her. I felt for this cartoon teenage girl. But the film, it teaches an important lesson. And through her lens, we're taught that anxiety can be self-destructive when we disconnect, when we try to hide it. Relationships can fracture and shame can be amplified. But on the flip side, it can be managed when it coexists with joy and other emotions, especially through connections and relationships, the relationships that joy has with that Riley has with others. You see, the movie was insightful because it says something about our hearts and our emotions. We aren't called to bury those emotions, to run from them or hide. We don't have to live in a constant state of fear and anxiety either. We're called to engage them and to engage them with others. We need connection. That's how God designed it. We need friendships, we need support networks, we need people to talk to. And what we saw in the Bible today, in God's word, is this. The greatest connection, the greatest relationship to calm our fearful hearts is to come to him, to know him, to trust him, to rest in his love. He is the God of peace who desires peace for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the words of Psalm 94, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation, God, brought me joy. And Father, we know that it's in your presence that we can find peace. In your presence, we can find comfort. In your presence, we can find joy. Thank you for being our God, a God who is a God of love, a God who desires connection and relationship, a God who invites us to come to him. Thank you that we can be in your presence through prayer, through Christ, who died on the cross for us, who redeemed us and forgave us so that we could be restored to you. Lord, we thank you that that relationship with you is powerful, that we get to be with you. And so I pray, Lord, as we face these emotions in our lives, emotions like fear and anxiety and worry and concern and unease, we pray, Lord, that in those moments we can turn to you, we can surrender and bring them before you first and foremost. You are a God who promises you'll always be with us. You're a God who promises that in you we can have safety and refuge. And so I pray, Lord, that truth will speak louder than our emotions at times. It will speak louder than our fears. Help us, Lord, to rest in that truth. Help us to find comfort and safety there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.